Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Final Broadcast, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Static in the Air. The night it happened, I felt it. A crackle in the air, a kind of static tension that prickled my skin and raised the tiny hairs on the back of my neck. It wasn't unusual for me to feel the weight of the night as I prepared for a broadcast, but this was different. This felt heavier, more dangerous, like the city itself was holding its breath, waiting for something inevitable. The studio was my sanctuary. In this forgotten part of the city, surrounded by rusting warehouses and alleys drenched in neon light, it was the one place where I felt completely in control. The old equipment, held together by duct tape and hope, hummed as I flipped the switches to power everything up. It was a symphony of groans and crackles that always brought a smile to my face. This was my orchestra, and I was its conductor. I adjusted the microphone, the cold steel a comfort beneath my fingertips. It felt like an extension of me now, a part of my voice that carried farther than I ever could on my own. "This is Leo Cruz," I began, my voice steady and commanding. "Coming to you live from the heart of the Forgotten City, where the truth burns brighter than the neon and the lies can't hide in the shadows." The theme music played, a gritty bassline punctuated by the occasional screech of interference. It was imperfect, raw, but so was the city I loved and loathed in equal measure. I leaned back in my chair, letting the familiar rhythm wash over me. For a moment, I could almost forget the danger. Almost. That night's target was Councilman Eric Holbrook, a man who could have been a caricature of corruption if he weren't so terrifyingly real. Holbrook was the kind of politician who smiled for the cameras while his hands reached into every pocket they could find. He had a smile like a shark, all teeth, no warmth, and eyes that never quite met yours. I had been building this story for months, piecing together whispers and fragments, until finally, I had something solid. Holbrook had funneled millions meant for the city's crumbling infrastructure into a web of shell companies. It wasn't a theory, it was fact. And tonight, I was going to prove it. "Tonight's broadcast isn't just about exposing corruption," I said, my voice dropping into a low, conspiratorial tone. "It's about making sure the people responsible pay for their sins." The chatboard on my website lit up with messages. My listeners, the outlaws, as they called themselves, were a ragtag mix of truth seekers, conspiracy theorists, and night owls with nowhere else to go. Their messages scrolled past in a blur, some supportive, others skeptical, all of them engaged. Maya's name caught my eye. She was one of the regulars, her messages always thoughtful and probing. She had a knack for asking the questions I hadn't thought to answer yet.
"Are you sure it's safe to air this? Holbrook's not just corrupt, he's dangerous."
I typed back. "Truth isn't safe, Maya. That's the point."
"Leo didn't know how close to the fire he was playing. Or maybe he did and he just didn't care. Either way, it terrified me. I stared at his message, the words blurring together as my mind raced. Holbrook wasn't just another corrupt politician. He was a man who thrived on power, who crushed anyone who stood in his way. I had seen it firsthand. The folder on my desk was proof of that. Inside were documents that tied Holbrook to offshore accounts, payments made to silence whistleblowers and worse. I'd stumbled onto them while working as an accountant at a firm contracted by his campaign. At first, I thought it was a mistake. But the deeper I dug, the more I realized how deliberate it all was. And now Leo was about to put a target on his back just like I had." I glanced at the clock. It was late, but not late enough for the city to sleep. Outside my window, the hum of traffic and the distant wail of sirens filled the air. This was the city I had grown up in, the city I had fought to escape, only to find myself pulled back into its orbit. It was a place where hope and despair collided in equal measure, where people like Leo fought to make a difference, even when it seemed impossible. When his voice crackled through my speakers, my heart clenched. There was a defiance in his tone, a fire that refused to be extinguished. "Stick around, folks," he said. You won't want to miss this.
The call came in at 11:42 p.m. A disturbance at an old warehouse downtown, near the industrial district. It wasn't unusual for that area to see its share of trouble, but this was different. The dispatcher's voice had an edge to it, a tension that set my instincts on high alert. When I arrived, the first thing I noticed was the silence. The warehouse loomed like a shadow against the night sky, its windows dark and empty. The neon sign above the door, on air, flickered weakly, casting an eerie glow over the cracked pavement. Inside, the air was heavy with the scent of burnt electronics and blood. The studio was a mess, overturned chairs, shattered glass, wires tangled in chaotic loops. And in the middle of it all, slumped over the console, was Leo Cruz. Two gunshots to the chest, close range. The kind of precision that spoke of a professional job. There were no defensive wounds, no signs of a struggle. Either he hadn't seen it coming, or he hadn't thought he needed to fight. The microphone was still live when I entered. I reached over and hit the stop button, the room plunging into silence. For a moment, I just stood there staring at his body, the weight of what had happened pressing down on me like a physical force. Leo Cruz had made a lot of enemies in his line of work. Now it was my job to figure out which one had finally caught up to him.
Chapter 2. Voices in the Dark. The morning after Leo Cruz's murder, the city felt different. The hum of life that usually threaded through its chaotic streets seemed muffled, like a blanket of dread had been draped over everything. Headlines screamed the news. Pirate radio host killed on air. They got the basics wrong, of course. They called him reckless, irresponsible. But they didn't know him like I did. To his listeners, Leo wasn't just a voice. He was a lifeline. I couldn't stop watching the grainy footage uploaded to a dozen different sites by the time I opened my laptop. Someone, probably one of the outlaws, had managed to stream the broadcast, capturing the moment the studio door burst open. The screen went dark just after the sound of two gunshots. I clenched my fists as I read the comments. This is what happens when you dig too deep. Serves him right for running his mouth. Holbrook did this. Who else? They didn't know how dangerous their theories were. If they got too close to the truth, they'd put targets on their own backs. And if they strayed too far, innocent people could get hurt. A private message from an anonymous username popped into my inbox. Maya, we need to talk. I know who killed Leo. Meet me at Pier 14 at midnight. My chest tightened. No name, no details, just a location and a time. It was a trap. It had to be. But something about it, the phrasing, the timing. Whoever sent it knew me. And they knew I'd come.
The department was buzzing, but not in a productive way. Cases like this, high-profile, publicized, messy, turned everyone into a spectator. Officers whispered theories over bad coffee while the higher-ups scrambled to control the narrative. The scene at Leo's studio was still burned into my memory. The blood spatter told a story of sudden, violent death. Two shots to the chest, close range. Professional. Efficient. I stood in the morgue, staring down at Leo's body. The ME had confirmed what I already suspected. There were no defensive wounds. Leo didn't see it coming, or he didn't think he needed to fight. Either way, it left me with more questions than answers. Back at my desk, I combed through the archives of his broadcasts. Leo had been a thorn in the side of half the city's power players, from corporate execs to political figures. Holbrook's name came up more than once, and each time, it was tied to damning accusations of embezzlement and fraud. Detective Perez, my partner Jacob, said, leaning against the doorframe, "We've got a witness. Some kid says he saw someone leaving the studio the night of the murder." Great. Let's hope this kid has something better than a shadowy figure in a hoodie.
Pier 14 was exactly as I remembered it. Desolate, with the scent of salt water and rust hanging heavy in the air. I waited under a flickering streetlight, every nerve in my body on high alert. Footsteps echoed behind me. I turned, ready to run, but it was only a man in his early 20s, dressed in a hoodie and jeans. His face was pale, his eyes darting nervously. "Are you Maya?" he asked, his voice trembling. "Who's asking?" I replied, keeping my distance. "My name's Alex. I was a sound tech for Leo. I worked behind the scenes sometimes, setting up the streams. I didn't trust him. Not yet. But something in his voice, the desperation, the fear, kept me from walking away. Why did you message me?" I asked. "Because I know who killed him."
The witness turned out to be a kid named Frankie, a lanky teenager with a skateboard tucked under his arm. He was more interested in telling his story than actually helping the investigation. I was just skating past, you know? Like, I'm there all the time, Frankie said, gesturing animatedly. And then I see this guy come out of the building, real quick, like he's in a hurry. He gets into this black car and peels off. Did you see his face? I asked. Nah, but he was wearing a suit. Fancy, you know? Like a politician or something. A suit. That was new. Most hitmen didn't wear tailored jackets to a murder. What about the car? Did you get a plate number? Jacob asked. Frankie shook his head. No, but it was one of those expensive ones. A Mercedes, I think. I exchanged a glance with Jacob. It wasn't much, but it was a start.
Holbrook didn't kill Leo, Alex said, his voice barely above a whisper. It was someone else. Who? I demanded. He hesitated, looking over his shoulder like someone might be watching. Holbrook's rival. A guy named Daniel Reyes. He's been trying to take Holbrook down for years. Leo's broadcast was the perfect opportunity. He wanted to make it look like Holbrook was cleaning up loose ends. My mind raced. It made sense, but it also raised more questions. Why frame Holbrook? And why involve Leo? Do you have proof? I asked. Alex nodded. I recorded a call. Reyes hired the hitman. I didn't know what to do, so I reached out to you. We need to take this to the police, I said, though the thought filled me with dread. If Reyes had that kind of power, who's to say the police weren't on his payroll? Alex's face hardened. No cops. Not yet. We need to be smart about this. He handed me a USB drive. This has everything. Keep it safe. Before I could respond, he disappeared into the shadows, leaving me alone with more questions than answers.
Chapter 3. Shadows of the Past. The aftermath of Leo Cruz's murder left the city buzzing with questions and tension that refused to settle. Every news outlet in the city had picked up the story, spinning it in their own way. Some painted Leo as a martyr for truth. Others dismissed him as a reckless vigilante who pushed the wrong people too far. But for me, it was simpler than that. Leo was a victim, and it was my job to find his killer. The precinct's bullpen was a cacophony of noise, officers shouting over the hum of phones ringing, reporters demanding answers outside, and the low murmur of conversations between detectives. My desk was buried under stacks of files, printouts, and crime scene photos. Every detail from Leo's broadcast, every name, every accusation was under scrutiny. Perez, Jacob said, walking up with a fresh cup of coffee. His expression was grim as usual. Tech Lab just sent over the audio from Cruz's last broadcast. It's not pretty. Let's hear it, I said, bracing myself. Jacob set his laptop on the desk and hit play. Leo's voice filled the room, steady and confident, as he delivered his latest exposé. The audio crackled with interference, but his words cut through clear as a knife. Then came the moment I'd been dreading. The sound of the studio door slamming open, followed by footsteps. Leo's voice faltered, a brief moment of hesitation before he said, "What the hell are you doing here?" Two gunshots rang out, and then silence. My stomach twisted as the recording ended. Even knowing what was coming, it still hit me like a punch to the gut. "Anything from the lab?" I asked, trying to focus on the work. Jacob shook his head. The audio's too distorted to make out the shooter's voice. And the shell casings were wiped clean. Whoever did this knew what they were doing. What about the witness? Frankie. Still holding to his story. Says he saw a guy in a suit leaving the scene, driving a black Mercedes. We're running plates, but it's a long shot. I leaned back in my chair, staring at the board where we'd pinned up everything we had on the case. Leo's accusations against Councilman Holbrook were front and center, along with photos of Holbrook's known associates. But there was another face that kept nagging at me, one we hadn't officially connected to the case yet, Daniel Reyes. Reyes was Holbrook's rival in the upcoming election, a man with just as much to lose if Leo's accusations blew up the city's political landscape. He had the motive, the resources, and the ruthlessness to orchestrate something like this. But motive wasn't enough. I needed proof. The precinct buzzed around me, but I tuned it out, narrowing my focus on the small details. A clean crime scene usually meant precision. No fingerprints, no DNA, no sign of hesitation. But even the best make mistakes, and that was what I needed to find. Perez, Jacob called out, pulling me from my thoughts. Got something you'll want to see. Surveillance footage from a camera near the warehouse. I followed him to the tech room, where a grainy video played on a monitor. The footage wasn't great, black and white, low resolution, but it showed a figure walking toward the studio. They were wearing a suit, just as Frankie had described, and moving with purpose. Moments later, they reappeared, leaving the studio and climbing into a black car. The plate was partially visible, but not enough for a clear read. "Enhance the plate," I said. The tech guy, Martin, shook his head. "This is the best we've got. I can try running it through filters, but don't hold your breath." "Do it anyway," I said, crossing my arms. "And run a trace on the car model. Let's see how many black Mercedes are registered to people with ties to Holbrook or Reyes."
The USB drive Alex had given me felt heavier than it should have, as if the secrets it held were pressing down on me. I hadn't slept since the night at Pier 14, my mind racing with possibilities and fears. What if Alex was wrong? What if this was all some elaborate setup? And what if he was right? I sat at my kitchen table staring at my laptop as it booted up. The drive rested on the table in front of me, daring me to plug it in. Finally, I couldn't take the suspense any longer. I inserted the drive and opened the folder labeled Simply Truth. The first file was an audio recording. My heart pounded as I clicked play. It was a phone call, the voices muffled but recognizable. One of them was Daniel Reyes. "You're sure it'll look like Holbrook?" Reyes asked, his tone calm and calculated. "We'll use his usual guy," the other voice replied. "No one will question it." "Good. I want this tied up neatly. No loose ends." The call ended, leaving me breathless. Reyes had orchestrated Leo's murder, and he'd done it in a way that would point the blame squarely at Holbrook. It was brilliant in its simplicity, and utterly horrifying. The second file was a spreadsheet, detailing payments from Reyes's campaign funds to a man I didn't recognize. A quick search of the name revealed he was a known enforcer, someone with a reputation for making problems disappear. My hands shook as I closed the laptop. I had everything I needed to expose Reyes, but I couldn't do it alone. I needed someone I could trust. Someone like Detective Perez.
Maya Singh walked into the precinct like she was carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders. Her eyes darted around nervously as she approached my desk, clutching a small flash drive in one hand. "Detective Perez?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper. "That's me," I said, motioning for her to sit. "What can I do for you?" "I have information about Leo Cruz's murder," she said, her hands trembling as she placed the drive on my desk. This has proof. Daniel Reyes hired someone to kill him and frame Holbrook." My instincts screamed at me to be cautious, but there was something about the desperation in her voice that told me she was telling the truth. I plugged the drive into my computer and opened the files. As I listened to the recording and scanned the documents, my pulse quickened. If this was real, it was the break we'd been waiting for. "Where did you get this?" I asked, my tone sharp. "A friend," she said, her voice wavering. "He worked with Leo. He's scared for his life. And you?" "I'm scared too," she admitted. "But Leo didn't deserve to die for telling the truth. Someone has to do something." I nodded, my mind already racing with how to proceed. This was bigger than anything I'd worked on before. And if we weren't careful, it could blow up in our faces. But Maya was right. Someone had to do something. "Okay," I said. "Let's take this one step at a time."
Walking out of the precinct, I felt a mix of relief and terror. Relief that I'd done the right thing, terror at what might come next. I had put a target on my back and there was no going back now. As I turned the corner, my phone buzzed with a new message. It was from an unknown number. "You shouldn't have done that, Maya." My blood ran cold. Someone was watching me and they knew what I'd just done. I quickened my pace, glancing over my shoulder at every shadow. The city felt darker, more menacing, as if it were closing in around me. I didn't know who to trust anymore. But one thing was clear. The fight for the truth was far from over.
Chapter 4. Web of Lies. The tension in the precinct was electric. The evidence Maya Singh had handed over was enough to spark a firestorm. But it also meant that I had to tread carefully. Daniel Reyes wasn't just another suspect. He was a man with connections that ran deep and wide. Accusing him of orchestrating Leo Cruz's murder wasn't just a career risk. It was a personal one. Yet the proof was undeniable, and the weight of it settled heavily on my shoulders. I stayed late that night, long after most of the precinct had cleared out. The dim glow of my desk lamp cast shadows across the files spread before me. The audio recordings from the USB drive played in a loop, each word carving deeper into my mind. Reyes's voice was smooth, controlled, almost disarmingly casual as he spoke about murder like it was a business transaction. It was chilling, and it made me more determined than ever to bring him down. "Detective Perez," Jacob's voice interrupted my thoughts. He stood in the doorway, his expression grim. You've got to see this. I followed him to the tech room, where Martin, our tech specialist, was hunched over a monitor. The enhanced footage from the warehouse had finally yielded results. The partial plate from the black Mercedes was now clear enough to run a match, and it pointed to a rental car registered under a shell company linked to none other than Daniel Reyes. "It's not definitive," Martin said, scratching his head. "But it's a hell of a lead. It's enough to bring him in for questioning," I said with my heart pounding. "Let's move."
The message on my phone haunted me. "You shouldn't have done that, Maya." It was a warning, clear and direct, and it left me feeling exposed and vulnerable. I couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching me, following my every move. Paranoia gripped me as I walked through the city, every shadow and passerby a potential threat. I tried to focus on my next steps. Leo's murder had to mean something, and the evidence on the USB drive was my chance to ensure it wasn't in vain. But the danger was real, and I couldn't ignore the possibility that Reyes's people were already closing in on me. My first instinct was to call Alex, the sound tech who had risked everything to get me the evidence. But when I dialed his number, it went straight to voicemail. Panic clawed at me. Had they gotten to him already? Was he safe? Determined to get answers, I decided to visit Alex in person. His apartment was on the other side of town, in a run-down building that reflected the city's forgotten corners. As I climbed the creaking stairs to his floor, every step felt heavier, like I was walking into a trap. When I reached his door, I knocked softly. No response. I knocked again, louder this time. "Alex? It's Maya." Silence. I tried the doorknob and found it unlocked. My stomach churned as I pushed the door open, revealing a small, cluttered apartment. Papers and equipment were strewn across the room, but what caught my attention was the overturned chair and the bloodstain on the carpet. "Oh God," I whispered, my hand flying to my mouth. Alex was nowhere to be seen, but the signs of a struggle were unmistakable. I backed out of the apartment, my mind racing. Someone had been here. Someone who wanted to silence him. And now they knew I was involved.
Bringing in Daniel Reyes was easier said than done. He was slippery, and his legal team was already working overtime to shield him from scrutiny. But we managed to secure a warrant based on the rental car evidence and the audio recordings. It wasn't ironclad, but it was enough to make him sweat. When Reyes walked into the interrogation room, he was the picture of composure. His tailored suit and calm demeanor contrasted sharply with the tension in the air. He sat across from me, his hands folded neatly on the table. "Detective Perez," he said, his voice smooth. "To what do I owe the pleasure?" "You know why you're here," I said, leaning forward. "Leo Cruz, the broadcaster, the murder." Reyes raised an eyebrow, feigning confusion. "I'm afraid I don't follow." "Leo Cruz was a tragedy, of course, but I fail to see what that has to do with me." "Cut the act," I snapped. "We have your voice on a recording, Reyes. Talking about making it look like Holbrook. Talking about no loose ends. You planned this." For a brief moment, something flickered in his eyes, fear maybe or anger. But it was gone as quickly as it came, replaced by a smirk. "Recordings can be fabricated, detective. Surely you know that. And shell companies?" I countered. "Because we traced the car used in Leo's murder to one of yours." Reyes's smirk faltered. He leaned back in his chair, his composure slipping ever so slightly. "This is a waste of time," he said, his voice sharper now. "You have nothing solid. Just circumstantial evidence and wild theories." "We'll see about that," I said, standing up. "You're not going anywhere, Reyes. Not until we've got the answers we need."
I ran. I didn't know where I was going. Only that I needed to get away from Alex's apartment and the danger that now felt like it was closing in from all sides. My mind was a whirlwind of fear and guilt. Had I dragged Alex into this? Was his blood on my hands? I found myself at a small diner, the kind that stayed open all night. The neon sign flickered above the door as I stepped inside, the smell of coffee and grease washing over me. I slid into a booth in the corner, trying to calm my racing heart. Pulling out my phone, I hesitated before dialing Detective Perez's number. She answered on the second ring. "Detective, it's Maya," I said, my voice trembling. "Alex is missing. I think something happened to him." "Where are you?" she asked, her tone urgent. I gave her the address and she promised to meet me. Hanging up, I stared out the window, watching the shadows stretch across the street. The fight for the truth was far from over, and I knew I was in deeper than I'd ever imagined.
Chapter 5, The Tightening Noose. I arrived at the diner to find Maya sitting in the farthest corner, her face pale and her hands wrapped tightly around a mug of coffee. Her eyes darted toward the door every time it opened, and when she saw me, relief washed over her face. I slid into the seat across from her, placing my notebook on the table. "Talk to me," I said. "It's Alex," she whispered, leaning in as though the walls had ears. "Something happened to him. His apartment, there was blood. A lot of it." My stomach dropped. Blood at a crime scene almost always meant one thing, and the likelihood of finding Alex alive was slim. Still, I couldn't jump to conclusions. "Not yet. Did you see anyone? Hear anything?" I asked, pulling out a pen. Maya shook her head. "No. The door was open when I got there. It looked like someone had been searching for something." She paused, her voice trembling. "Do you think they were looking for me?" It was a possibility I couldn't rule out. Whoever was behind Leo Cruz's murder was cleaning house, tying up loose ends. Alex had been one of those loose ends, and now Maya was another. "We're going to protect you," I said, though I wasn't entirely sure how. Resources were stretched thin, and if Daniel Reyes's reach was as extensive as I feared, we'd be playing a dangerous game. "Do you still have the USB drive?" I asked. Maya nodded, pulling it from her bag. "I made copies, just in case." Smart. Maya was scared, but she wasn't reckless. That gave us an edge, however slight. "Stay here," I said. "I'll send an officer to keep an eye on you while I check out Alex's apartment. Don't go anywhere." Maya's fingers tightened around her coffee mug, but she nodded. Alex's apartment was chaos. The door hung on its hinges, the lock smashed in. Inside, the smell of copper and something acrid filled the air. Blood spattered the carpet, the walls, even the corner of the overturned coffee table. Whoever had done this hadn't been subtle. I scanned the room, careful not to disturb the scene. Papers and equipment were scattered across the floor, many of them trampled in the struggle. On the desk, a monitor flickered weakly, showing a half-finished email draft addressed to Maya. "Maya, if you're reading this, I'm sorry. I think they know. I don't have much time, but the truth is bigger than we realized. Reyes isn't working alone. There's someone." The email ended abruptly, the cursor blinking like a taunt. Someone had silenced Alex before he could finish his warning. "Detective," Jacob's voice called from the hallway. He entered the room, his face grim. "We found a witness. Neighbor down the hall said they saw two men leaving in a hurry. Black SUV, tinted windows. No plates. And Alex?" I asked, though I already knew the answer. Jacob shook his head. "No sign of him. But with this much blood, he didn't need to finish." I clenched my fists, anger bubbling beneath the surface. Alex had risked everything to expose the truth, and now he was gone. But his work wasn't. The USB drive, the files, the recordings, we still had them. And now, more than ever, I was determined to see this through. "Get the forensics team in here," I said. "I want every piece of evidence cataloged. Every fiber, every print. Someone made a mistake, and we're going to find it." Jacob nodded and left to make the calls. I turned back to the desk, staring at the unfinished email. Reyes wasn't working alone. That revelation opened a new can of worms, one that threatened to upend everything we thought we knew about this case.
The hours dragged on in the diner. Every time the door opened, I tensed, expecting the worst. The officer Carla had sent sat a few tables away, nursing a cup of coffee and keeping a watchful eye on me. But it didn't ease the anxiety that gnawed at my insides. My phone buzzed, pulling me from my thoughts. It was an unknown number again. My heart pounded as I opened the message. "You're running out of time. Walk away while you still can." I stared at the words, a chill running down my spine. Whoever was behind this wasn't just trying to scare me, they were issuing a command. And ignoring it would come with consequences. I debated calling Carla but hesitated. If Reyes wasn't working alone, as Alex's email suggested, then this went deeper than just one corrupt politician. I needed to think carefully about my next move. Glancing at the officer, I slipped out of the booth and headed to the restroom. Locking the door behind me, I pulled out my phone and scrolled through my contacts until I found a name I hadn't called in years. Priya. Priya had been my best friend once, back before life pulled us in different directions. She worked in cybersecurity now, the kind of job that paid well but demanded long hours and even longer secrets. If anyone could help me figure out how to stay one step ahead of whoever was after me, it was her. The phone rang twice before she answered. "Maya?" Priya's voice was tinged with surprise. "What's going on? It's been ages. I need your help," I said, my voice barely above a whisper. "And I don't have much time to explain."
Chapter 6, The Truth Unveiled. The city was a pressure cooker ready to explode. Between Leo Cruz's murder, the growing conspiracy surrounding Daniel Reyes, and the mounting fear for Maya's safety, the case had become a labyrinth of lies and danger. Yet we were closer than ever to uncovering the truth, and that made the stakes even higher. I sat in the precinct's conference room, a whiteboard covered in photographs, names, and strings connecting the dots. At the center of it all was Reyes, his smug face glaring back at me from a campaign photo. But now there was another name, one that Alex's unfinished email had hinted at. Victor Delgado, a billionaire philanthropist with his fingers in every pie from real estate to tech. Delgado's public persona was squeaky clean, but whispers of shady dealings had followed him for years. If Reyes was the architect of Leo's murder, Delgado was the puppet master pulling the strings. The problem was proving it. "Perez," Jacob said, bursting into the room. His face was pale, his voice urgent. "We've got a problem. Maya's gone." I shot to my feet. "What do you mean, gone?" "She gave the officer the slip at the diner," he explained. "We tracked her phone to an industrial park on the outskirts of the city, but she's not answering calls." My heart sank. Maya was smart, but she was in way over her head. If she'd gone to confront Reyes or Delgado on her own, it could end in disaster. "Get a team together," I said. "We're going after her."
The industrial park was eerily quiet, the kind of place where shadows stretched long and the air smelled of rust and decay. My footsteps echoed on the cracked pavement as I approached the warehouse Alex's email had mentioned. It was a long shot, but I had to take it. Delgado's name had come up too many times to ignore, and if he was behind all of this, I needed to know. The door creaked as I pushed it open, revealing a cavernous space filled with crates and machinery. A single light bulb flickered overhead, casting ominous shadows. My heart pounded as I stepped inside, every instinct screaming at me to turn back. But I couldn't. "Not now. You shouldn't have come here," a voice said, cold and sharp. I whirled around to see Victor Delgado stepping out of the shadows. He was impeccably dressed, his suit pristine despite the grimy surroundings. Behind him were two men, both armed, their expressions unreadable. "You've been causing quite a stir, Miss Singh," Delgado continued, his tone almost amused. "Digging where you shouldn't, making enemies you can't afford." "You killed Leo," I said, my voice trembling but firm. "And Alex. You think you can silence everyone who gets in your way?" Delgado chuckled, a sound devoid of warmth. Leo Cruz was a loudmouth who didn't know when to quit. "And Alex? Well, collateral damage is an unfortunate necessity in my line of work." I clenched my fists, anger bubbling to the surface. "You won't get away with this. The evidence is out there. People will know what you've done." "The only thing people will know," Delgado said, stepping closer, "is that you were a reckless girl who got in over her head."
The warehouse came into view, its silhouette stark against the night sky. My team moved in silence, weapons drawn, the tension palpable. The GPS tracker on Maya's phone had led us here, and I prayed we weren't too late. We breached the door, fanning out into the space. The sound of voices drew me toward the center, where I spotted Maya standing face to face with Victor Delgado. My blood ran cold as I saw the gun in his hand, aimed directly at her. "Drop it, Delgado," I shouted, my voice echoing through the warehouse. Delgado turned, his expression calm, but his eyes burning with fury. "Ah, Detective Perez. Always one step behind." "Put the gun down," I said, stepping closer. "It's over." "Is it?" Delgado sneered. "Do you really think this ends with me? You're just scratching the surface, Detective. Take me down, and someone else will fill my place." "Maybe," I said. "But it won't be you." In the split second it took for Delgado to glance at Maya, I fired. The shot hit him in the shoulder, sending him sprawling to the ground. His gun clattered away, and my team moved in to secure him and his men. Maya ran to me, tears streaming down her face. "You came," she said, her voice breaking. "Of course I did," I replied, pulling her into a brief hug. "Let's get you out of here." The fallout was swift and brutal. Victor Delgado's arrest sent shockwaves through the city, his web of corruption unraveling in spectacular fashion. Daniel Reyes, too, was implicated, his political career destroyed overnight. The recordings, the files, and Maya's testimony became the backbone of the case that brought them both down. As for Maya, she found herself in the spotlight, hailed as a hero for her bravery. But the scars of what she'd been through lingered, a reminder of the cost of seeking the truth. Leo Cruz's legacy lived on, his final broadcast a rallying cry for justice. The city wasn't fixed overnight, it never would be, but the cracks in its foundation were now exposed, and that was a start. For me, The case was a reminder of why I'd become a detective in the first place. Justice wasn't always clean, and the truth wasn't always easy. But in the end, it was worth fighting for. As I stood outside the precinct, the city's lights stretching out before me, I thought of Leo's words, "The truth burns brighter than the neon." For the first time in a long time, I believed it.